The Victoria Police Force presents D-24. From the files of the Victoria Police, for the first time, come these true stories of unceasing war against crime, of day and night vigilance that protects our life and our property, and of the nerve center of the Police Information Bureau, D-24.
D-24 calling all cars and stations. The following man is urgently wanted for questioning in connection with assault and robbery. Name, John Wood. John Wood. Here is his description.
This is the true story of the man who wouldn't learn. This is a true story from the files of the Victoria Police. Only names, place names, and dates have been altered. John Wood had an aversion to work. Honest work, anyway. But he liked to eat well and to dress well. These things call for money. And so, at an early age, he developed the habit of helping himself to other people's money, or property that he could turn into money. And if these activities aroused any opposition from his victims, he didn't hesitate to take what he wanted by the use of violence. And so he was well known to the police and made quite frequent appearances in the law courts. But John Wood just couldn't accept the fact that a life of crime means long years behind bars. He preferred to take the risks involved and spend what little freedom he had on race courses and in billiard saloons. Our story begins on Melbourne Cup Day, 1936. The average punter hadn't had a very successful day, but Maxwell Groves was feeling extremely pleased with himself. He'd collected a lot of money on the cup winner. After the races, he drove into the city and decided to have some dinner in a Bourke Street cafe. And it was here that he struck up an acquaintance with John Wood.
Did you go out to the cup today?
No. Too many people for my liking. All the once-a-year mugs in Melbourne go out on cup day.
Yeah, I'll say they do. Still, it's worth the trouble for me.
Showed a profit, did you?
A few quid.
Good on you.
Only a bit back off what the books owe me, though.
Yeah. You can't toss them.
You know, if I'd known I was going to win, I'd have fixed up a party or something for the night. As it is, I'm at a loose end.
Me too. Do you play snooker?
I like a game now and again.
We could get a game tonight if you like.
Oh, that'll do me.
Only for a dollar on the price of the game, mind you. I don't play for big dough.
Suits me. I don't know enough about it.
Yeah, you won't have much trouble beating me. Let's just make it a friendly game, eh?
Yeah, that's what I like. A friendly game.
Makes it 43 each, Max. All depends on the black ball.
You haven't left me a very easy shot.
You can do it, son, if you set your mind to it. Just make it fair, square in the middle, and damn she'll go.
Here's hoping, anyway. Missed by a yard.
Bad luck.
I've left it right over the pocket for you, too. That's the third game you've won.
Wait till I pot it.
You'll pot it all right.
Well, here goes. Got it.
You're far too good for me.
Want another game?
No, thanks. Time I was getting along. There's the 15 bob I owe you. All I've got to do is to pay for the game. Where's the mark?
Oh, just over there.
Oh, good. How much do you owe you, mate?
3 bob.
Can you change a pound?
I think so.
Here you are, then.
Crikey. That's a decent roll you got there, sport.
Well, I told you I backed the winner today, didn't I?
Yeah, you said a few quid. You got hundreds there.
Yeah, that's right.
Here's your change. 17 bob.
Yeah, thanks. Well, see you some other time.
Yeah, cheerio.
Which way are you going now, Max?
Caulfield.
By car?
Yeah. Want a ride?
Yeah. I live in Paran. Can you go that way?
Well, why not? It's not out of me way. And come on, the car's parked in Queen Street.
That's my place. The one with the brown fence.
Ah, okay.
Thanks, pal.
Oh, that's all right. You know, we ought to have another game sometime.
Yeah, we should. Well, you know where you can get me.
But you'll have to give me a start next time.
Oh, we'll see about that.
Hey, you've left your parcel behind.
Huh? Oh, yeah. It's a bottle of scotch, too.
Here you are.
Oh, thanks again. Well, I'll be seeing you.
Yeah, good night.
Good night. Hey! Hey, wait a minute, Max!
Why, what's wrong?
Your front near side tyre. Flat as a pancake.
What?
Yeah, you must have stopped on a nail or something. Hey, stick your head out of the window and see for yourself.
Yeah, I will. Front tyre, you said?
That's right, look. Down there. And at the same time, get this. And one more for luck. Bug. Fancy falling for that old gag. And now, sport, before you wake up, I'll help myself to that wallet of yours.
John Wood was up to his old tricks again, and using the broken bottle inflicted terrible injuries to Max Grove's head. The first the police knew about the attack was when a woman rang D24 and informed them that a man was lying unconscious near a car in Commercial Road, Paran. The mobile patrol took Groves to hospital and then started their search for the offender. But they made no headway at all for several days. Then another call came through to D24.
Hello. D24?
Yes? Who's calling?
That doesn't matter. But I'm ringing about that fellow that was bashed up in Paran on Tuesday night. Maxwell Groves.
Yes?
I saw Groves on Tuesday night with another man.
Where?
At the Apex Billiard Saloon in Collins Street.
Who was the man with Groves?
I don't know. Goodbye.
Hello? Hello? Hung up on me.
Detective Sergeant Long?
D24 here, Sergeant. I've had an anonymous call about the attack on Maxwell Groves.
Huh?
Whoever it was said that Groves was at the Apex Billiard Saloon in Collins Street on Tuesday night with another man.
The Apex?
Yes.
Any details?
No, that's all he'd tell me. Then he rang off.
All right, thanks, D24. We'll go around right away and see what we can find at the Apex.
Were you the marker on duty here last Tuesday night?
Oh, that's right.
Can you remember any of your customers that night?
Oh, that's a pretty tough one.
I know, but it's important. You've only got six tables here. Try to remember who was playing on each one.
Well, now, Tuesday night.
And that was cup night.
Yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, it was a quiet sort of night. Only about three of the tables being used for most of the time. I was playing myself on this one here. Old Ted Farrow and Jim Roberts had number two. And there was a bloke who only comes in now and again on number three. He had a stranger with him.
Well, that sounds more like it.
but I don't know their names.
Not even the one who comes in now and again?
No.
Well, have you seen him often enough to describe him to us?
Well, I could try.
Good. Then go right ahead.
The marker's description was a good one. And back at Russell Street, the detectives checked their comprehensive files. By a process of elimination, they narrowed down the suspects to five. The next step was to check on the movements of the five men. And as they knew the offender was a frequenter of billiard saloons, they checked these too. And it was in a billiard saloon that they came upon one of the suspects they were looking for, John Wood.
Where were you on Tuesday night, Wood?
Well, it's none of your business, but I was at home in bed.
That coat you're wearing looks as though it's bloodstained to me.
Well, if it is.
How'd the blood get on your coat?
My nose was bleeding.
When?
Oh, the other day. Now go away and leave me alone.
Now, just a minute. Can you prove you're at home and in bed on Tuesday night?
No, I can't. Anyway, why should I?
We're investigating an assault and robbery on a man named Groves at Paran on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I read about it, but that's all I know.
You answered the description of the man who was seen with Groves on the night he was attacked.
Oh, so you're trying to pin it on me?
No, we're not.
Oh, yes, you are. And I'm not saying anything else, see? I didn't do it, and that's all about it.
I think we'll have to ask you to take part in an identification parade.
Do what you like.
Let's get along, then.
All right. I'll come. But I warn you, if you charge me, I'll get even with you if it takes me all my life to do it.
Both Maxwell Groves and the billiards room marker who'd seen the two men together had no difficulty in identifying Wood. And despite his threats, he was charged with assault and robbery. But this was by no means the end of his criminal career, as we'll tell you in a few minutes when we continue this true story from the files of the Victoria Police. This is a true story from the files of the Victoria Police. Only names, place names, and dates have been altered. John Wood was charged with assaulting and robbing Maxwell Groves. Taken to court, he was found guilty and sentenced to 5 years hard labor and a flogging. For most men, that would be sufficient, but not for Wood. Once released from jail, he was back to his old haunts and habits. And more than once, he again saw the inside of jails. The war began and ended. Wood still didn't believe in working for a living, and it was in a Chinese cafe in Bourke Street in 1948 that he saw an opportunity for some easy money.
Yeah, you say you and your wife had just been married, eh?
Yes, we're over here from Adelaide on our honeymoon.
Now Melbourne, well?
Hardly at all, do we, darling?
No. I've never been here before. Seems nice.
It's not such a bad town. Bit slow, of course, but it'll do me.
You always lived here?
Yeah, I got a place in Carlton. Hey, look here, as you're strangers to Melbourne, why not come out to my place tonight?
Oh, no, we couldn't.
Oh, it's very good of you.
Oh, my wife, it'd make you feel at home. And anyway, there are a couple of others coming in for a few drinks, so why not be in it?
I really don't think we should.
What, you got something else on?
No, but...
Then why not come?
Because, well, we don't even know your name.
Oh, we can soon fix that. I'm Mike Jeffries. Hey, what's your name?
Vic Bradley.
Glad to know you, Vic.
And the wife's name's Jean.
Well, what about it, Jean?
Well, it's very nice of you to ask.
No, no trouble. The house is there. We got plenty to drink. We always like to have a few friends in the place.
What do you say, Vic?
Well, after all, why not? We're over here to have a good time, and if Mike's willing to give it to us, we should be mighty grateful to him.
That's the idea. Then let's finish tea, and then off we go to the party.
John Wood was right when he said there'd be plenty to drink at his place. That was hardly surprising, as his Carlton home was also a well-known sly grog shop. The newlywed Bradleys found that the party consisted only of John Wood, whom they knew as Mike Jeffries, his wife, and another man named Bill. But Mike seemed to be a generous host, and they thoroughly enjoyed the early part of the evening. Jean Bradley's first moment of uneasiness came when Mike stopped her in the front hall.
Well, aren't you glad you came after all, Jean?
Yes. Yes, of course, Mark.
You know, I envy that husband of yours.
What about?
Oh, what do you think? You, of course.
Now, Mike!
But I do envy him. I really do. I wish I was on me honeymoon.
Mark, get me another drink, will you?
Sure. I'll get you another drink. But first, I'm going to tell you, I think you're wonderful. Beautiful and wonderful.
Well, you really mustn't go on like that.
But Vic's not listening.
That doesn't matter.
Besides, all women like to be told they're beautiful, don't they? Now, don't they?
I think we'll have to be going, Mark.
Going? But why? Don't you like me, party?
We've had a lovely time.
What if I say you can't go?
Don't be silly.
That's not silly. Come with you.
Please let go my arm.
No.
Oh, Mark, don't do that.
Hey, what's going on around here?
Vic, it's time we went.
Oh, I've been trying to persuade your wife to stay a bit longer, Vic. The party's just beginning.
I'm tired, Vic. Let's go.
Yeah, of course, if you want to.
Now, wait a minute, both of you.
Eh?
No one's leaving here till I say the word.
Steady on, Mike, old son.
Don't you, old son, me. You're not going, I tell you.
You've had too much to drink.
Don't you believe it. I'm as sober as you were.
Well, then what's come over you?
Oh, Vic, don't stand here arguing. Let's go.
Yeah, I think we'd better. Good night, Mike.
Just a minute, mug. How about putting in for all the beer you and your wife are drunk?
Yeah, all right. I only got this £5 note.
That'll do. For a start.
Aye, I want some change.
Oh, you do you? You want some change. All right, you come with me and we'll get it.
No, Vic, don't bother about change.
He's not going to get away with a fiver.
Come on, then.
I wish you wouldn't, Vic.
I can look after myself. You wait here for me.
Just in here.
What's the big idea?
Hello, Bill. You've met Vic, haven't you?
Yeah.
Vic, give me a fiver for all the beer they've drunk tonight, and he wants some change. What do you know about that?
He's a mug.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
Now look here, I've had this. Give me the money or...
Or what?
Will I do him over?
No, leading to me.
So that's it, is it?
You catch on quick, sport. Now, let's have the rest of your dough.
There's no more.
So you're on your honeymoon with only a fiver in your pocket, are you?
Yes.
I don't think...
Let me at the mug.
No! You just get between him and the door. Now, one more chance. Give us the dough.
I haven't got any.
All right, try this for size. Well, change your mind?
No.
Stubborn, aren't you? Give us that bottle, Bill.
Yeah.
Thanks. Now, I'm not going to mess about with you any longer.
You dirty, rotten coward.
And give over the money.
Not on your life.
Right, and you're for it. Right. Shut it out, will you? You're tough, but this'll fix you.
On that settle, him.
Serve the mug right. Now, you grab all his dough, Bill.
What are you going to do?
This bloke's got a mighty pretty wife. Now he's out of the way. What do you think I'm going to do? Hello, Jean.
What? Where's Vic?
Vic's busy.
What have you done to him?
We had a little argument. He's got a sore head.
You devil! Let me go to him!
Not so fast.
Vic! Vic!
He can't hear you. He's out cold.
Let me go! Let me go!
Struggle as much as you like. You'll get tired before I will.
No! No!
But I don't like screaming women, so shut up! Well, that's much better.
Vic! Oh, Vic!
Ah, oh, forget Vic, will you? He can't help you. So you may as well be nice to me.
Oh, no! No!
What's the use of arguing?
I've got to get away.
You can't get away till I say so, so no. Make up your mind of that.
While her husband lay unconscious in another part of the house, the young bride was brutally assaulted by Wood, who then took what money she had and left the house. When she recovered sufficiently, Jean went in search of her husband and later took him to hospital, where he was found to be badly wounded about the head as the result of blows from Wood's favorite weapon, a broken bottle. A little while later, she tried to give detectives what little information she had.
He said his name was Mark Jeffries.
Yes, Mrs. Bradley. But you don't know the address of the house.
No. I should have taken notice of it, but I was too worried about Vic.
Yes, of course. But at least we know it was somewhere in Carlton.
Yes, but I'm from Adelaide and I've never been to Carlton before. When it was at night, I'm sure I'd never find the house again.
Just try to think. Try to think of anything you saw or heard when you were there. Or on the way there.
No. No, there's nothing I can remember.
Yeah, that's a pity.
But wouldn't you be able to find out where a man named Mark Jeffries lives?
Oh, yes, we could, but something tells me that Mike Jeffries isn't his real name.
Oh.
We'll check it, of course, but I have my doubts. Mike Jeffries just doesn't ring a bell with me at all.
A bell?
Eh?
You said something about a bell. There was a bell last night. A fire bell.
Yeah?
I remember now. I said something about it to this Mike, and he said there was a fire station just a few hundred yards up the street.
Now we're getting somewhere. So we want a house in the street in Carlton where the fire station is. Come on, Mrs. Bradley, we'll jump into a car and we'll see if you can point out the house for us.
And Mrs. Bradley did point out the house. So the detectives now knew the real name of the offender. They also found ample evidence of the struggle in the house. But of course, John Wood had vanished. And so the radio call went out.
D-24. D-24, calling all cars and stations. The following man is urgently wanted for questioning in connection with assault and robbery. John Wood, age 40 years, height 6 feet, weight 15 stone, brown eyes, dark hair. Last seen wearing dark gray suit, blue striped shirt, black shoes.
And at the same time, police guarded all railway stations and the Essendon Airport. And early the next morning...
All passengers on flight 723 for Sydney, please go on board. Your Skymaster airliner is now ready for departure. Please show your seat checks to the hostess.
All passengers checked in, Mr. Thomas?
Oh, but one, Sergeant. Don't be hurries. A couple of minutes late now.
What's his name?
Anderson. H. Anderson. Hello. This could be him rushing in the door now.
That's not Anderson. That's John Wood, the man I'm looking for.
No.
Just carry on as though there was nothing unusual.
Am I too late to catch the Sydney plane?
Well, sir, I...
You're not too late, my friend, but it's going without you.
What?
Police here, Wood.
You're making a mistake. My name's Anderson.
Your name's John Wood.
And you're coming along with me for questioning at Russell Street.
Not me. Now, look here, I know you're only doing your duty, but my name's Anderson. I booked to go on this plane a week ago. Ask the clerk.
That right, Mr. Thomas?
Yes. Yes, it is.
So now, will you please let me catch that plane?
No. You may have booked a week ago, but your name's John Wood, and you're wanted for questioning. Sorry if we've delayed the plane, Mr. Thomas.
Can we take off now?
Certainly, but don't forget to let the hostess know that the plane will be carrying one passenger less.
This time, the court was not so lenient with John Wood, and he was, in fact, sentenced to death for the attack on Jean Bradley. Later, this was commuted to a long term in prison. His companion, Bill, was also sent to jail. John Wood just wouldn't learn that his behavior would certainly lead him back to jail. A modern, highly trained and efficient police force such as ours sees to it that the lot of the criminal is a hard one. And John Wood must surely realize by now that the life he chose doesn't pay dividends. Let us determine to always help our police whenever and wherever possible. Only then will our lives and our property be safe. Only names, place names, and dates were altered in this true story. It was dramatized from the files of the Victoria Police by Roland Strong, who now says goodbye until the same time next week, when there'll be another true story in this series, D24, which is brought to you by the Victoria Police Force and produced in the studios of Hector Crawford Productions by Dorothy Crawford.